Welcome to another message on Chattavish Creek. God is good to us today. This is Thanksgiving. We need to remember all the things that we need to be thankful for, that we have life, that we have what health we have, that we have people that love us, that we have a church to serve the Lord in. These are the most important things in this world. We have freedom. America just made a great statement to the world and to itself. They elected a president. They elected one this time by the majority of the people. And we'll see what's going to happen with that. He may be a liar or whatever else, but we're going to find out the people are putting their trust in this man. Let's see what he can do for us. That has been a problem throughout the history of mankind, that people, leaders, come forward and they tell you you're going to do something and they do something completely different. They lie to people. We have a prophet of God here, Zechariah. And Zechariah means what? God remembers. And Zechariah is going to tell us something here that is the truth, with promises founded upon God himself. Now, these people that Zechariah is writing to are Jews, and even Israel. He's telling them to get with it, serve the Lord, get with it, finish the temple, and then serve the Lord in his prescribed manner. We have the manner by which we need to serve the Lord. I just finished preaching from 2 Corinthians a while ago, a church letter telling you how to behave yourself in God's house. And that Corinthian church had gobs and gobs of problems. And I'm thankful they had those problems, because now we know how to behave ourselves in a better way in God's churches. We're studying the 6th chapter of Zechariah. Now I lifted up my eyes again and look, and behold, 4 chariots were coming forth. Now chariots usually are what? Are they carrying the mail? What are they doing? What are chariots usually doing back in this period of time? They're going forward. They're going forward to bring about order. Coming forth from between the two mountains. And the two mountains were bronze mountains. Now we have chariots coming. We know that Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. God's messenger took him up in a chariot of fire. He was raptured. He's the type of the raptured. Enoch was raptured. We have two types of the rapture in the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, in the book of Revelation, we're talking about two witnesses. I don't think they're the one. The Bible says that the point of man under wants to die, and they say, well, because they didn't die, they have to come back. Well, they're a type of the rapture. It would be an anti-type or a real blasphemous to take a type of the rapture and then have the people that are a type of the rapture go back and die. That's not the reason for the rapture. The reason for the rapture is the gathering up of God's people. It said between two mountains. Mountains means what? Remember what mountains mean? Governments. Two governments. And then it says these mountains were bronze mountains. What is brass a type of in the Bible? Judgment. 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 We find out brass is the type of judgment. No, mountains of judgment. With the first chariot were red horses. With the second chariot were black horses. Now, you go back to, you go forward to the book of Revelation, and you're going to find out there's some horses there. There's white horses, there's black horses, and red horses, and a green horse, even, a green horse, and a black horse. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot were black horses. And with the third chariot were white horses. And with the fourth chariot there were strong dappled horses. Like in Revelation, the 6th chapter. Then I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking with me, what are these, my Lord? Now, last message that we had from Zechariah, the 5th chapter, we had a parable of false religion and judgment from God on false religious systems. And we compared Islam, we compared Catholicism, we compared these religions, even the Jehovah Witnesses that do away with the person of God altogether and take our Jesus and turn him into an angel. That is blasphemous, and that is damning. "What are these, my Lord?" he says. And the angel answered and said to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven." The four directions are there: north, south, east, and west. North, south, east, and west. That's the four directions. Four spirits of heaven going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth. And with one of the black horses, are going forth to the north country. North country. That's yonder way. And the white ones go forth after them, while the dappled ones go forth to the south country. Both opposite directions. When the strong ones went out, and they were eager to go to patrol the earth. Now they're going to go out and patrol these chariots. They're going to patrol the whole earth. They're going to watch after the whole earth. They're going to do a walkabout over the whole earth. And he said, "Go patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who are going to the land of the north have appeased my wrath in the land of the north." What was north of Israel? Babylon. Babylon. Remember? Babylon. We have two Babylons in the Bible. We have the Babylon of old, and we have the Babylon that is yet to come, that I think is even sticking its ugly head up today. The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, "Take an offering from the exiles, from Heldai, Tobijah, Jediah, and go, and you go to the same day, on the same day, and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, where you have arrived from where? Babylon." Where was Israel taken captive? And why was Israel taken captive? Israel was taken captive to Babylon because they had sinned. And when they got over in Babylon, they got so sick of idols, they never served idols again, but they did make an idol out of the Word of God, the Mishnah and the Talmud. And they worshipped the Word more than they did the Lord of Heaven. They'll take out there, I've been to Jerusalem, I've been to the Wailing Wall, they'll take those sacred scrolls out and they will kiss them. "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry." Not His Word, but the Son. Honor the Word of God, yes. But kiss the Son. Serve God. "And take silver and gold and make ornament of an ornate crown and set on it a head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And then say to him, thus saith Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch." Here we're talking about what? This is Jesus. Natzer. The branch. The branch out of dry ground. Up here, I've shown you before. This tree, this is a birch tree, and it comes up out of the ground. And the word branch means divide. Natzer. The word Nazar, all right? It means to divide. The branch divides. Now, down below the ground is another set of branches, and that's what we call roots. And those roots divide, and they go out, and they bring nutrients up. And they bring nutrients out of the soil, and they make leaves, and the leaves transport oxygen into the world. We get to breathe this good oxygen. "Thus say to him, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord." Jesus called out his church. You know, the tabernacle, it talked about the tabernacle, the size of the tabernacle in the last message. The size of the tabernacle was 15 by 30. This and that tabernacle, Moses was told by God Himself, "Build me a tabernacle, I want to dwell with my people." Jesus called out His church, and He wanted to dwell. He wants to dwell with us today. "Yes, it is He who will build the temple of the Lord, and He will bear the honor and sit and rule on His throne, and thus He will be a priest on His throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices." Verse number 14. Now the crown will become a memorial in the temple. Jesus, while he was on this earth, he put two ordinances in his church. One of them is baptism, and the other one's the Lord's Supper. And Jesus, as he was taking the Lord's Supper with his church, the night before his crucifixion, he said, "I will not take this with you again until I sit down with you and sup with you in my kingdom." Now the crown will become a memorial. Now when we take that Lord's Supper, it is not efficacious. It is not a transference of grace. It is not a vehicle of grace. It is a memorial of what he did to us. A memorial in the temple of the Lord to Helim, Tobijah, Jedidiah, and Hen, the sons of Zephaniah. And those who are afar off will come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, has sent me to you. And it will take place if you completely obey the Lord your God. Now let's go back to Herbert Lockyer's book. And let's see some of his notes about this message that we have in the sixth chapter of the book of Zechariah. The parable of the crown, he talks about. In this further vision of Zechariah, is distinctly charged to observe an impressive parabolic ceremony, a parable, a simile, an allegory, a metaphor. All of these terms are trying to bring a message to us from what we see. And where the best of the Jewish nation still remains, a trio of Jews, Hedadiah, or Helam, Zechariah 6:14, Tobijah, and Jedidiah, came to Jerusalem, bringing a present of gold and silver. This deputation was received and entertained by Joshua, or Hen, the son of Zephaniah. Zechariah was commanded to take the gold and silver and commissioned skilled workmen to fashion them into a crown or crowns. Then they came the coronation, when the crown was placed on the fair mitre already set upon the high priest's head. Ordinarily, the high priest did not wear a royal crown in 2 Samuel 12 and 30. The Levitical priesthood did not allow the same person to wear at once the crown of the king or the mitre of the high priest. Jesus is our priest and our king, isn't he? In Psalm 110 and verse 4 and Hebrews 5 and 10, the two offices of king and priest, the sacerdotal and regal, were always kept jealously apart, but Jesus fulfilled them both. He is our branch. When Uzziah, as king, attempted to undertake the ministry of a priest by burning incense upon the altar, he was smitten with leprosy. But here in our parable, the crown was placed upon the mitre and a symbolic act illustrating the combination of the two offices in the same individual. The divinely commissioned prophet makes it clear that the true priesthood and kingship are to be conferred on the Messiah, the HaMashiach, on whose head many crowns are to be rested, and one surmounting the other in Revelation 19, verse 12. The Adonai HaAdonaiim, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on his thigh was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a title from the Hebrew, Adonai HaAdonaiim. The phrase, the same day, is suggestive. As soon as the gifts of gold and silver were received, they were fashioned into a crown. That day, that instant. When Jesus was born into this world, he was crowned. Remember, the Magi brought him three gifts. They were kingly gifts. They were royal gifts. No time is to be lost. In the double crown made from the gifts and set on Josiah's head, we have typified the gathering in Israel's outcast to the Messiah hereafter, who shall be recognized as the true king. The priest Zechariah speaks of him as a man. Behold the man. Ecce homo in Latin. Behold the man. Pilate also conscientiously spoke of Jesus in this way in John 19 and verse 5. There's an ark there that's ecce homo in Jerusalem. I have walked underneath that ark where he said, ecce homo, behold the man. But the sense here is, behold, in Joshua, the remarkable shadowing forth of Messiah. Not being of a royal line of David, Joshua could not be crowned as a king. Thus, it was not for his own sake that he was crowned, but only in his representative character. Before we pass into the consider Christ as priest and king, let us think of him as the branch. We're on page 116 in all the parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. A favorite designation of him who was David's royal line, Zechariah 3 and 3, Isaiah 4 and 2, Jeremiah 23, 5, 33, 15, Luke 1 and 78. His was a loyal and unlikely origin. He was a root out of dry ground, Isaiah 53 and verse 2. The branch out of dry ground. The root, the branch, the root and the branch are the same thing. For 30 years he was unknown except as a reputed son of the carpenter. Actually, he was a stonemason. Son of a stonemason. For some commenters speak of him as sprouting up from his place as being a place particular to him, not merely from Bethlehem, of Nazareth, but also of his own power without man's aid in his miraculous conception, because men see him as only a branch, they reject him. The idea of a branch is that Christ's glory is growing, not yet fully manifested as a full-grown tree. In the millennium, he will be a full-grown tree with multitudes sitting under his shadow with great delight and finding his fruit sweet to their taste. Haley's Bible commentary says, the branch was to be of Zerubbabel, David's family, the kingly line, but here Joshua the priest is crowned and is represented as the branch sitting on the throne of David, 6, 12, and 13, a symbolic merging of the two offices of the king priest and the coming Messiah. Two expressive phrases indicate the royal line and the rule priestly atonement of Christ. He shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. That was forbidden always. Remember what Saul did? Saul was kicked out as being, he was rejected by God because he tried to be the priest also. Presently, he is our great high priest, interceding on our behalf in Hebrews 9:11 and 10:21. As our merciful and faithful priest, appointed in things pertaining to God, he offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins and ever lives to plead his efficacious blood on our part. The king, although the priest, Christ has ever been a king. Adonai Ha'adonaim, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was born a king in Matthew 2 and 2. He came as the King Eternal, but his manifestation as King of Kings is yet future. Revelation 15, 3, 17, 4, and 19, 16. While on earth, he was attested to as the King of the Jews, and actually then in heaven, he is our priest king of whom Melchizedek is a type. Without beginning or without end. King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, do we think sufficiently of Christ in this dual respect and aspect? Is he our prince as well as our savior? As priest, Jesus pleads the merit of his precious blood. As king, he exercises his risen, glorified power on our behalf. As priest, he pacifies the guilty conscience. As king, he sends thrills of his own victorious life into our spirits. Jesus is our captain. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our warrior over all foes. As priest, he brings us nigh to God. As king, he treads out our enemies under his feet. He sets his priest and king upon his throne. Because of his intrinsic dignity and finished mediatorial work, he sits, not stands. When he returns to earth as his rightful Lord and King, then blessings will abound. I look forward to that time, do you? Between two offices, priest and king, there is a council of peace. What exactly is implied by the prophet's phrase, between them both? Campbell Morgan says it means the resulting peace would accrue from the union of the kingly and priestly functions in one person. There is no conflict between the priestly and the regal. Joshua and Zerubbabel. Joshua, Jehovah saves. Zerubbabel, seed of Babel. And Jameson comments, the religious and the civil authorities cooperating in the temple typify the peace and the harmonious union between both the kingly and priestly offices. The kingly majesty shall not depress the priestly dignity, nor the priestly dignity the kingly majesty. Adonai Ha'adonaim, our Lord and our Savior, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his priestly office, Christ atoned. And his kingly obviously imparts the benefit of his atonement. No matter how meritorious the death of Christ as sacrifice, such a sacrifice would not have availed on our behalf had he not risen from the dead and ascended on high as King of Glory. We must never lose sight of the fundamental truth that men can only be saved as they accept by faith the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9-10. For if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came and died and rose again, and confess with your mouth that He is King and Lord, you shall be saved. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Twice over, it is affirmed that the priest-king is to build the temple of God. We're not talking about a temple made with hands. The king is to build the temple of God. The crown on crowns which Joshua wore during the coronation ceremony were retained for a memorial in the temple of the Lord, a memorial of the three donors who had formed the deputation of Joshua's coronation, and to remind all of the Messiah, the promised anti-typical king-priest, to the small band of returned exiles, with sad hearts gaped upon their temple site, strewn with ruins. The prophecy of Zechariah as to the rebuilding of the temple must have come as a great stimulus. The necessity of obedience. We are left on this world to build a temple to God. We are to build churches, true New Testament churches, to build people, to make disciples, to baptize disciples, and teach them to guard with the lies all things that He's handed down to us. The necessity of obedience must be noted. The completion of the rebuilding would be accomplished if the Jews diligently on their part obeyed the Lord, which, alas, they failed to do. Further disobedience and unbelief did not set aside God's gracious purpose as to Messiah's coming. Just because they didn't accept Him didn't mean He didn't come. You remember what that man told me, that Jew told me on the radio? I don't believe that He rose from the dead. This message before us, He will one of these days. That His glorious priest-king of Israel shall not be manifested to the Jews till they return to Him with obedient penitence. Where did you get those wounds in your hands? He said, in my house, friends, and they will cry for Him as one cries for his only begotten Son. Meantime, as a nation, the Jews are cast away as branches until they are grafted in again on the branch and their own olive tree. All over up here we have wild olive trees. They don't have wild olives on them at all. They're good for nothing. They got thorns all over them and everything. Those real olive trees bear fruit. There's a lot of wild olive trees out there perpetrating themselves to be God's churches today that have nothing but hell to look forward to. We talked about that last week. Hell to look forward to. Do you have hell to look forward to? Or do you have the branch, the Savior, Adonai Ha'anonaim? Presently, the spiritual temple is rising by the Spirit, the master builder responsible for God's building, which is composed of regenerated Jews and Gentiles. If a Jew wants to serve the Lord today, let him go to one God churches. Don't let him play synagogue. Let him go to one God churches and serve the Lord there and bow his neck to Jesus Christ, his King and Lord. God's building, which is composed of regenerated Jews and Gentiles, Zechariah 9:16-17. I hope God's Word has blessed you today. It's cold on this creek. New Hope Missionary Baptist Church bought this coat for me about 40 years ago. I'm using it on this creek today. I used it cowboying, and I used it preaching. I'm using it preaching again. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You for Your Word. We ask You to bless it. It goes out. Let it be fruitful. Let it multiply. Let the waters carry the bread of life. Father, forgive us for our failure. Let this message honor and glorify You throughout the world this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.